This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon. And this time we look at the political realism of solving the unfunded liabilities problem for local communities. It amounts to millions and millions of dollars. I'm joined by Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy and Rhode Island Public Radio political commentator Scott McKay. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey there, Dave.
Great to be here, Dave.
Mark, let's start with you and let's go over the situation in general.
The latest calculation was the unfunded liability for towns and cities is $5.6 billion, which really is probably undercounting it because the numbers are a few years old and they're also contain really sort of far too optimistic rates of return expectations.
And what are we counting?
Well, we're counting what towns and cities do not have on hand or in future expected returns to cover pensions for retirees and to cover essentially health care that they've promised to their workers.
Scott McKay, this issue has been kicked down the road by various administrations statewide, locally, for how long?
Well, at least since I've been a reporter here in Rhode Island, which goes back to the 1980s, and I can remember very well State Treasurer Nancy Mayer, a Republican, waving this red flag many, many years ago.
And the thing is, Dave, that, you know, the pension reform that was started actually by Don Ciccieri and then picked up by then General Treasurer Gina Raimondo and then Governor Lincoln Chafee and then, you know, was enacted and then it was all consolidated into a lawsuit and finally settled. That only deals with state workers and their pension plans. And what we're talking about here, to a large degree, are public safety workers, you know, police and firefighters for towns and cities. And there's a big issue here, that not only do they retire early and, you know, have earned pension, pension credits, but they retire early and they get health care. And so the deals that have been made and the promises that have been made have really, there's very little money been socked away. For pensions, there's somewhat. And so there are funds woefully underfunded in general.
Scott, the General Assembly doesn't really want to get involved with enabling legislation to let communities change the rules on the fly, do they?
No, they don't. And there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, unlike the state pension system, most of these local pensions, particularly for the class of workers that Mark's talking about, your public safety workers, pensions are under union contract. And that's something the state did not have. Now, organized labor does have a lot of clout at the State House, not what they used to have, but they do have clout to influence that. But on the local level, literally, the pension language, all of the benefits, they are all stipulated by contract. And this makes it more difficult than it does at the state level to enforce change.
There was the legal case in the city of Cranston, which has now gone on appeal to the state Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And at first, Cranston thought it was winning the argument, and now that's up in the air.
It's always been very difficult. There's never been a precedent in this state, really, as there are in some other states, on the constitutionality of making these changes. The state, I think, and the unions widely both looked over the ledge at the last big overhaul the state did in the 2011 special session, and they both realized, wait a minute, we need to get a settlement here for a whole host of reasons. First of all, had either side lost that thing 100%, the state would have been in serious, serious trouble.
It's important to note that they settled, but the issue becomes one in which the specter of Central Falls rears its head. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you have both the city and the workers not doing well out of that. You know, if you declare bankruptcy, the contracts are null and void. But it also means that the ability then of a city, and if it's a larger city, say Providence or Cranston or Warwick, you know, it becomes much more expensive for them to borrow money. It becomes much more expensive for them to run the city if they do go bankrupt. And, of course, the workers, you know, they get at the first amount, what was it, 25 cents on the dollar for Central Falls. I mean, that's terrible. So, you know, the issue I think that this, you know, brings to light is you need more political leadership to sort of really talk through this and find a solution. Because if you don't, the cities themselves are really going to find themselves in a difficult position.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy and Rhode Island Public Radio political commentator Scott McKay. So who takes the lead? Does it come from the state, from the governor, from the general treasurer, perhaps? I mean, we've seen 14-member study commissions, and now there's a new 5-member panel looking at the situation.
If Rhode Island was a shelf, it would be basically falling under the weight of all the various studies that have been done over the years by various pension advisory and study commissions. Mark, you've seen this. We've all seen this. And I think the League of Cities and Towns, I think, probably is the group that should bubble up and the municipalities should get together and go to the State House. They need some enabling legislation. Governor Chafee tried to do this, and he couldn't get it through. He went around the state. I'll give him credit. He did talk to cities and towns. He was able to get letters of support from all the cities and towns as far as getting this legislation through that would enable, hopefully, the local communities to then install some of the changes the state made. But he couldn't get that through the legislature. Then General Treasurer Raimondo decided not to go down that road. So here we are.
Yeah, I don't think there's any time to lose. I mean, you know,
there isn't. You're right.
It's you know, people are spending a lot of energy on 38 studios. You know, we're talking, and I really think that it's upwards of $7 billion in, you know, unfunded liabilities. And so, you know, it has to be addressed in one form or another. And it won't be pleasant for either side.
No.
But it really has to happen. You can't function with this kind of overhang.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. I remember one of the very top people in the state in a background conversation with me, top labor person, very smart person, told me point blank, when the legal suit came up against the state, he said, you know, we can't win this suit. We'll bankrupt Rhode Island. I think Mark points out the scenario, the doomsday scenario that was Central Falls until some changes got made. But Central Falls is small. They don't have that many employees, whereas something like a Providence particularly or a Cranston, Warwick seems to have been better managed a little bit.
Nobody is really doing that well on this
store. I understand
store.
That, but Warwick's doing better. Providence really is the one that, particularly with their public safety and all the people who keep going out on disability. I mean, some of this stuff really needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, or we're going to have another river of red ink running through these municipalities.
If indeed the situation is reaching, well, critical mass, why isn't it a bigger priority, a higher priority with voters who could possibly face higher taxes and a cut in services?
People don't see it as a crisis because it's accounting, it's balance sheet. We had in one quote, I think it was Scott Avedisian, the mayor of Warwick, who said, people don't pay attention when it's your balance sheet. They pay attention when it's your income statement. And I think the accounting change that I'm talking about, that governments are going to have to start showing it, will bring it to light. But it's really something that's been known for years by the people inside government. And I mean, you know, no one wants to touch this thing.
No, they really, really don't. And there's a whole host of reasons for that. Some of them are legal. Most of them are just political. Nobody likes to fight with the city employees. And one of the problems we had here for years, I guess Buddy Cianci was the king of this in Providence. The way that you get support from your employees and their unions is to promise them things, whether they're sustainable or not, knowing you're not going to be around to pay the piper when 15 or 20 years comes down and this becomes real. And I think Mark's right. Until people see a ridiculous tax increase that's there only on their property taxes to pay for pensions or post-retirement health care benefits, then you're going to see the fan spin.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks to Rhode Island Public Radio political commentator Scott McKay.
Thank you.
And to Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Great as always to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.